Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, including broccoli, cauliflower, and spinach, green and yellow and red vegetables of all kinds, so that man and woman would live long and healthy lives. But using God's gifts, Satan created Ben and Jerry's ice cream and Krispy Kreme donuts. And Satan said, "You want chocolate with that?" And man and woman said, "Yes, and add some sprinkles as well." And they gained 10 pounds, and Satan smiled. And God created healthful yogurt that woman might keep the figure that man found so fair. And Satan brought forth white flour from the wheat and sugar from the cane and combined them, and the woman went from a size 6 to a size 14. So God said, "Try my fresh green salad." And Satan presented Thousand Island dressing and buttery croutons and garlic toast on the side. And man and woman had to unfasten their belts after they ate. And God said, "I have sent you hearty, heart-healthy vegetables and olive oil to cook them in." And Satan brought forth deep-fried fish and chicken-fried steak so big that it required its own plate. And man gained more weight, and his cholesterol went through the roof. Then God created light and fluffy white cake that he called angel food. And Satan said, "I will create a rich, dark chocolate cake and call it devil's food." Then God brought forth running shoes so that his children might lose those extra pounds. And Satan made cable TV with a remote so that man would not have to toil when he changed channels. And men and women ate before that flickering blue light and gained even more pounds. Then God came forth with a potato, naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition. And Satan peeled off that outside healthful skin and sliced the starchy center and cut it into chips and deep fried them, and man gained even more pounds. Then God made lean beef so that man might satisfy his desire for meat without gaining more weight. But Satan created McDonald's double cheeseburgers with large fries. And he said, "Can I supersize that for you?" And man went into cardiac arrest. Clearly, food is one of those things that tempts us every day. It's a great temptation in our lives, but certainly not the only. In our text for today, we read of two different temptations: the temptation of Adam and Eve, and the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Adam and Eve failed. They lost, and consequently we lost. But fortunately, Jesus did not fail. He did not succumb to the devil's temptations. If we look carefully at these two temptations, we can see that there are some parallels, and so I'd like to point those out to you, if I might. Our Old Testament reading begins with a rather ominous verse. "Now the serpent was much more crafty than any other beast of the field." Satan and Eve have a conversation. "Satan, did God actually say that you shall not eat of the garden?" That's a simple question, but the implication here is that God is denying her something that she really deserved to have. Satan says, or Eve says, "If we eat of that tree, we will die." But Satan comes back with, "Surely you won't die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil," implying somehow that she would gain knowledge and be equal to God. But when Eve saw that the tree was good to eat, it was a delight to her eyes, and that it would make her wise, she took and ate. And she gave some to Adam, and he took and ate. And suddenly they realize that they are naked. And at that point, the world changed forever. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the snake. And the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. In the gospel lesson, we hear the story again of the temptation of Jesus. He's been in the wilderness fasting for 40 days. And after 40 days in the wilderness, he was no doubt weak and very hungry. And here comes Satan at that weakest moment to tempt him. Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, change these rocks into bread, and you can satisfy your desire to eat. You can satisfy that hunger that you feel gnawing within you." And then Satan takes Jesus to the pinnacle of a temple, and he says, "If you're the Son of God, jump down from here, and the angels will surely catch you. Your father would not allow you to fall on those rocks and be injured." And when that didn't work, Satan changed his tactic a little bit. He took Jesus to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all that you see. But each time, Jesus avoids those temptations by answering with an appropriate Bible verse. Well, at this point, you might be saying, "Well, I've heard all this before. What's the significance of these texts for today, of these two temptations? What can I take home from that?" So let's look again at each of those temptations. Adam and Eve were tempted, and they failed. They fell into that temptation. They saw that the fruit was good for food, that they lusted after it, and that they wanted it. And then the text says they saw that it was a delight to the eyes. That meant they wanted to possess it. And then they saw that it would give them knowledge. They would be as smart as God, and they said, or thought, "Oh, I can be as smart as God." That's pride. So that's where Adam and Eve went wrong. All of these things that they did were placing their needs before the worship of God and obeying his commandments. If you think about it, Satan offered essentially the same temptations to Jesus. He offered him bread. Bread is a bodily need, and it was an offer for Jesus to satisfy his desire for food. And then Satan offers him all of the possession, that he might possess all of the kingdoms of the world, hoping that he could possess them. And then Satan says, "Surely you won't fall. The angels will catch you." Which would have left Jesus thinking, "Gee, I must be pretty important. I can be really proud of myself." The comparison is there. So when Adam and Eve fell into the lust of the flesh, Jesus overcame that same temptation. When Adam and Eve fell into the desire to possess something, Jesus overcame that temptation. Where Adam and Eve fell into the pride of life, Jesus overcame that temptation. Some people call those basic temptations the unholy triad. They consider them to be the source of all human sinfulness. In summary, they might be called money, sex, and power, or pleasure, pride, and possessions. Indeed, Satan tempts us every day with those same basic three temptations. Now, I'm sure this hardly ever happens to you, but if Satan were to tempt you this week one day, which of those three would be the thing he would use to tempt you first? Which of those three would be your weakness? Which of those three would capture you at your weakest point? Which would be your Achilles heel? Second, we wonder, how did Jesus resist those temptations? If we're going to be tempted, what do we learn from this? Did Jesus use his divine powers? No. Did he use physical power against Satan? No. Did he get angry and yell and curse at Satan? No. Did he run away as fast as he could? No. You see, he didn't use any of those methods to resist that temptation that Satan offered to him. He endured those temptations for us. You see, we have no wisdom or understanding other than what God gives us in the Bible. When we are tested, there's no better place for us to turn than to God's Word, just as Jesus did. Because that's where we find Jesus. That's where we find salvation. That's where we find forgiveness. That's where we learn in God's Word that the Holy Spirit plants that faith and that hope in us that we have, that gives us hope in our hearts. It's interesting, when Luke tells this whole story, our reading today was from Matthew, he concludes the reading with, "And Satan departed from him until an opportune time." Satan was going to be back and would tempt Jesus again. And Satan comes back to tempt us again and again. He comes at our most weak moment, the moment we're lusting after something that we just figure we just have to have, something that we really, really want. He comes to us when we want to possess something that we perhaps shouldn't have. He comes back and again, trying to give us false pride, offering us that pride that somehow we have accomplished something on our own. When that happens, it is then that we need to remember this text. It is then that we need to remember that as humans, Adam and Eve succumbed to that temptation. But it was Jesus who overcame those same temptations. It was Jesus who took God's wrath onto himself for our sinfulness, so that we don't have to face God's wrath in the future. It was Jesus who, having completed all of Satan's temptations, who hung on the cross, bearing all of our sins. And while hanging there, he said, "It is finished. I have done all the work, and now you are free." Knowing that means we can be at peace with ourselves. We can be at peace with God. We can be at peace when Satan comes and tempts us. It means that we can have God's Word to help us defeat those temptations. It means that that Jesus faced the same temptations and overcome them with the same God's Word that we have. And we will succumb to some of those temptations. We certainly will. When that happens, we need to remember that we are forgiven, and we can begin again anew, a new day, in the newness of the forgiveness that we receive, in the newness that we receive the forgiveness at the altar today. And in that newness, we can look forward to eternal life. In the wilderness, Jesus overcame the temptations that we face daily. In John 16, Jesus says, I have told you those things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, and you will be tempted, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Indeed, God has overcome all of our temptations. We give thanks for that. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding and helps us overcome all temptations, may that peace keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.